Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Leap of Faith with Penina Taylor.
Hello, and welcome to Leap of Faith, the program where we talk with people about their spiritual journeys so we can gain insight and inspiration on our own spiritual journey. I'm your host, Penina Taylor, and I'm really excited to be here with you today. Usually, I interview people who talk about their journey to Torah, but today we will be having a different kind of conversation, which I just know is going to inspire you. For most of us, the word Siddur, that is the Jewish prayer book, is synonymous with the word liturgy. It conjures up images of people mindlessly reading words from a book without any heart or passion. It makes us think about rules, requirements, and repetition. And unfortunately, for a lot of Jewish people, it invokes a sense of dread. We think of praying from the Siddur as a fulfillment of duty, something very different from what we think of as real prayer, which we think of as unstructured, talking to God from the heart. Prayer from the Siddur is considered perfunctory, whereas prayer from the heart is how we connect to God on an intimate level, or at least that's the way many of us think. But the truth is that the purpose of the Siddur was the opposite of all that. Its earliest forms are as ancient as the later books of the Tanakh. The word Siddur comes from the word Seder, which means order, and it was designed to be more like a roadmap for a very intricate but intimate and personal journey, helping us navigate the twists and turns, but also serving as guideposts so we don't get lost along the way. Have you ever thought of prayer from the Siddur as a spiritual journey? Well, today on Leap of Faith, I will be speaking with Rabbi Daniel Cohen. Rabbi Cohen is the rabbi of the community of Bat Ayin in Israel. And while he is known for his scholarship and Torah, he is also known for his meditation workshops, counseling, and classes on prayer. And he's going to be speaking with us today about the Siddur as a spiritual journey. And I guarantee he will change your perspective and possibly your prayer life forever. So when we get back from the break, I'll be speaking with Rabbi Cohen. Thank you so much for listening to Leap of Faith. I'm Penina Taylor, and we'll be right back.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Leap of Faith with Penina Taylor.
Hello and welcome to Leap of Faith. I'm Penina Taylor, and today I'm really excited to be speaking with Rabbi Daniel Cohen. Now, Rabbi Cohen is the rabbi of the community of Bat Ayin in Israel, where I happen to live. He was the co-founder of the Bat Ayin Yeshiva and served as its Rosh Yeshiva for 9 years. Rabbi Cohen is renowned for his Torah teachings, meditation workshops, classes on prayer, as well as counseling. He's written one book in English called Foundations for Freedom, which is about the book of Exodus or Shemot. And he has just recently published a new book in Hebrew, which is about the Siddur as a spiritual journey. Rabbi Cohen, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure.
So Rabbi Cohen, as a former Rosh Yeshiva and a community rabbi, would you say that it's fair to say that everyone is on a spiritual journey?
Well, I would say that everyone is on a spiritual journey in the sense that life is really a a path that is walked towards greater and greater expression and evolved consciousness, I would say so. But, you know, I would think that there are people who are more consciously going about it than others.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
I think the point is that, like, we're all growing, either that or we're dying, right?
Yeah, I would say we're doing both at the same time.
Right. Okay, so a lot of times people think of a spiritual journey as someone who didn't have a faith or had one faith, had some sort of an epiphany, and then changed their faith or became more religious. But that's not what all spiritual journeys look like, right?
Sure. A spiritual journey is actually something which the Torah describes from the very moment that man left the Garden of Eden. You know, the first time that the Torah speaks of a journey is when it says that there is such a thing as the path to the tree of life. That's the first time the idea of there being a path is mentioned in the Torah, is part of the expulsion of Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. And really what's described there quite fascinatingly is that God sought to prevent man from eating of the tree of life, and in verses that obviously need their own deep exploration, but nevertheless, that was clear that instead of man reaching out and taking from the tree, which is how the Torah describes what might happen, that man would reach out and take from the tree and eat from the tree of life, God chooses that instead what man must now do is walk on a path. In other words, there's a journey now which is to be undertaken. And the nature of that journey, as with all journeys, is that there's going to be a intention, there's going to be a starting point, there's also an ending point, and that life is really the time that is in between that starting point and that ending point, during which we are exploring, choosing, creating, evolving, becoming greater and greater and more expansive and more and more aware human beings, so that we can really grow into the greatest that we can become. And that's really the journey of life. It can be called a spiritual journey, or it can just be called a journey on its own. But the context for it is really set up in the Torah right there at the very beginning, when it's described that now that you're out of the Garden of Eden, you're on a path. You know, the way it works on a path is that while you're on your way towards something, there's so much that happens on the way. And the way the Torah describes it is that there are two kruvim that are at the entry to the Garden of Eden with swords. That's the image that's given there, swords that are actually flipping back and forth. Mm. And a lot of that image, I think, is really describing to us about the way life has its incredible and ongoing variations, constantly challenging us to discover anew who we are and where we're going and how we're connected to our source and how we're headed towards a greater and greater realization of who we are and what we can be in this world. And so there's this movement of, like, you know, back and forth and confusion that so many of us face during the course of our lives, and need to constantly recontact the clear and soulful vision of who it is that we are. And that's really what I think, you know, what I mean when I talk about a spiritual journey, is we're growing, evolving, and becoming more real and attuned to what our mission is and who we are in the world.
Just that right there is something that I could sit and think about for a long time. You mentioned the path. One of the things that I have a really hard time with is, I thank God, I know very much where I believe, anyway, I'm supposed to be headed, what I'm supposed to be doing in this world, which is a very fortunate gift, because I know that not many people do, even by the time that they're my age. But so many times that path is fraught with distractions, things calling me off, saying, hey, come over here. Hey, come over there. I think if I didn't have my husband to help me refocus all the time, I would just be so full of things that were not leading me down that path.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing, you know, Penina, that we're actually, you know, on the one hand, being called aside, and on the other hand, we're headed somewhere. And like you say, you have a clear sense of what it is that your purpose is and where you're headed. But on the other hand, so many things that attract you. And it's a real dance, you know, to navigate, on the one hand, continuing to move towards, and on the other hand, something which is really, really important, and that is to not become closed to the messages that we get along the way as to what needs to be added to this journey, or what new levels and insights we need to be getting for having our path perhaps become a more sophisticated one, or a more complex one, or a more multi-layered one.
Right.
You know, one of the things that I've often thought about with Abraham and his journey, because he's the first Jew and he's actually the first person who we're told about in the Torah who's given a command to set out on a path and to set out on that journey. When he's told, lech lecha, you know, go for it, go for yourself, go for the sake of yourself and your growth and your becoming the most that you can become. And one of the really striking things about the invitation to Abraham to set out on the journey, and he becomes really an image, I think, for all of humanity to be on that journey, is that God says to him to go out, lech lecha me'artzecha mimoladcha mibeit avicha, go out from your land and from your birthplace and from your father's house, you know, leave the traditions you've come from and leave from the physical place that you were born, el ha'aretz asher areka, to the land that I will show you. And very interestingly and strikingly, God does not tell him exactly where he's going. God just tells him, you're going to the land that I'm going to show you, which is really, I mean, a little disappointing when you're telling someone to give up so much and you don't tell him where he's going. At least give him like a little bit of a promise of like what's going to be in the promised land or whatever, but nothing. God just says, you're going towards the land I'm going to show you. Oh my gosh, like what is that? So one of the incredible insights that some of the interpreters give is that really what's going on there is that God is actually creating a situation in which Abraham is setting out on a journey in which he is moving towards someplace. He doesn't exactly know what it is, but the command is to stay moving, to keep growing, to keep open and aware. You're going somewhere and there is a goal, but when you don't know exactly where you're going, then you stay awake to everything that's happening on the way.
Mm.
And so you get this beautiful dynamic. I mean, it's great you have your husband, who I know well, and he really is someone who you can count on as someone, you know, keeping you on the straight path. And on the other hand, there's like a dynamic about that, yes, but I also have to be awake to new input and not become locked in to the goals that I've set for myself or the end point that I've already determined that I'm going to get towards, because there are adjustments and changes and enrichments that happen along the way. Don't you think so?
I totally 100% agree. I'm just thinking as you're talking about that, about, you know, if you're going on a cross-country trip and there's a gas station on the side of the road, you could say, okay, well, that gas station's just a distraction. But if you ignore too many of them, you could end up like stopping out of gas on the drive there. So that kind of, I guess, represents some of those distractions that are equipping us, right? Like
totally.
Some of the things that we encounter that might be distractions are giving us new equipment that we need for the next part of the journey. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And they also participate in the input in your metaphor, which is a great one. There's another part of it too. And that is that sometimes, you know, you go into the gas station and someone tells you about a fantastic place you really need to see along the way that you might not have stopped at, and also might give you information about, you know, that endpoint that you're headed towards is super valuable, but, you know, you might want to check out this other aspect of it, you know, this other place on the way that will really enrich your experience of where you're going.
Right. Yeah.
So there's a lot that can happen in that gas station.
Yeah. And you have the course corrections too, right? Like sometimes
you think
you know where you're going, but really you're headed in the right direction, but not exactly. I think about that when I think about how we got to Bat Ayin, and it almost feels like it was kind of an accidental thing. We didn't have Bat Ayin even on our radar screen as far as a community that would be the place that would nourish our souls, which is really what happened. But it wasn't until we got here. I took a job in Bat Ayin and I got sick at almost exactly the same time. And I started asking Hashem, you know, like, why would you bring me here and then give me an illness that would basically prevent me from doing the job that you gave me? And it didn't take us long at all, literally 2 weeks, to start to realize that it was because we needed a course correction and this was where we needed to go. And what I thought was part of the goal was actually, it was a distraction, but it got me to where I needed to go.
Wow. That's like an amazing example. And also like reflects this, you know, the sense of like, sometimes making the goal too limited and delimited can actually prevent you from getting to where you really need to go. So it's a dynamic. On the other hand, like you say, if you get too distracted along the way, you don't really get anywhere. And if you don't let yourself be open and awake to the new input that's happening to guide you, then you actually might miss the mark and only get to something that you thought of yourself, but is not really the message that Hashem is giving you as to where you need to be. So yeah, that's an amazing story. Wow, I didn't know that, Nina.
Unfortunately, I have to stop right now because we're coming to the end of this first segment. When we come back, we'll hear more from Rav Daniel. You're listening to Leap of Faith. I'm Nina Taylor, and we'll be right back.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country. From Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Leap of Faith with Penina Taylor.
Hi, and welcome back to the second segment of Leap of Faith. I'm your host, Penina Taylor, and today I am having an amazing conversation with Rav Daniel Cohen, Rabbi of the Bat Ayin community, former Rosh Yeshiva of the Bat Ayin Yeshiva, and author of two books, one on the book of Exodus and the second one, a Hebrew book on the Siddur as a spiritual journey. Welcome back, Rav Cohen. Can you tell us what inspired you to write this most recent book?
Well, first of all, what I want to say about it is that book is only one part of what's actually a package. And that's part of an explanation of what it is I'm trying to do for people. You know, it's a package that includes both the book and also music, which I wrote specifically to guide people through various experiences and meditations and just, you know, to have good music that would accompany them on the different stages and levels of the journey that I describe in the book, and also films in which I teach orally so people can get a taste of it, how it looks and feels, and not just the information. But what I'm trying to give over in this book is that we as human beings actually are built of various levels of our experience of ourselves in our bodies, our awareness of a vast beyond to which we belong. You have very profound emotional experiences of love, compassion, excitement, able to focus ourselves on the single and unitary being, the God who is the one God who is guiding his universe of which we are a part, and ultimately come to be able to express to God our desires and our passions and our intentions through prayer. And what I just described, which really is in a sense a ladder. And in Hebrew, I call the book Sulam HaHitkarvut, the ladder of nearness, which is an attempt to describe that as part of our own daily spiritual journey, sort of a miniature spiritual journey, which is kind of a miniature of the journey that we were talking about in the previous conversation we were having. So we need to really reconnect every day with our presence, our simple being in place and in body, and recognize, and this is really what the Siddur is about, recognize how our body and our vitality and our ability to see and walk and move and stand up straight and intend things and move towards them is a gift and a blessing of God. And so we have a section of the Siddur which is just expressing how much God is an over abundant source of giving of life, and so we connect ourselves to that. That's a section of the Siddur which is called Birkot HaShachar, the recognition of the blessings of just waking up, everything that's involved in that. And so I suggest in this book different practices and meditations and understandings about it. And then there's music that accompanies it, which is very special music that is intended to sort of calibrate people to having that experience. And so that's one section of the Siddur. Then the next section of the Siddur is actually called Sacrifices, the Korbanot. And that's really about then understanding that as much as we experience and love the life that is here in this body that we have, and what a great gift that is, to be able to experience a sensate life, there's a deep awareness that we have that what we live in our bodies is not all of what life is for us, and that there's a great beyond towards which we yearn and actually have a burning desire for. And so I explore that and that experience and that feeling and that understanding, and explain how the Siddur in that section is actually encouraging us to touch that and experience that and move towards those kinds of, aspirations and yearnings that are in our souls, and let them open. And then following that is a very profound kind of a return to living in this world in a way that we, on the one hand, are very much aware of our sensations and of our life, and on the other hand, are very much aware of there being a life that's beyond. And those two meet in beauty. Beauty, you know, the aesthetic experience is something which really gives us a feel of that. You know, when you see something beautiful, or you see a marvelous scene or view, or just, you know, watch the sunset or go out to the sea and feel it. So on the one hand, you're very much in your body and present. And on the other hand, there's a very strong sense that there's so much beyond this. Right. And so you're not like in the sacrifice section, just kind of like yearning to leave. And you're not just embedded here, like in the Birkot HaShachar section of the blessings of the morning. There's middle point, which is a place of compassion and caring and loving. And that section is called the Psukei Dezimra, like the songs, the verses of song. Music is very much about this kind of experience also. And so then I have music that accompanies that, and a guided meditation for that, and film that, you know, enhances that, and the book which describes the understandings that are in this part of it. And then there's another level which happens when we are able to now just focus ourselves on the one God. And anyone listening can do this whole process right now, you know, and focus oneself on the one God who's the source of us and all things, and unifies and binds them together, which is really the next section of the Siddur, which is about Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, that listen Yisrael, Hashem is one, and really all of reality is unified by Him. And so now we've moved from just a simple presence in our body to our yearnings, to our appreciation of beauty, and then towards the one God who binds all of this together and enables us to not only love the world and love life, but also to really have a much more full and universal love, which is V'ahavtat Hashem Elokecha, which is the love of God and the world which He has created. And then at that point, after we've gone through these different stages, these four stages, now we're able to really speak of the most important and valuable things through the Shmoneh Esrei, through the 18 blessings of the Amida, of the standing prayer. And during that, it's a whole meditation of its own, which one. Not going to go into right now, but sure. We can have a separate program on that. But each one of these is a different way station of the most primary and eternal values that we're connecting to, and also experientially. But in any case, that's the next book I'm going to be writing, which is okay. About that prayer. So then, you know, the idea is, like we were talking before, about a journey. So really what becomes more and more obvious as a person explores it, as I've explored it, the Siddur is actually attempting to guide us through a spiritual journey that is a daily practice to move us through these different aspects of ourselves and connect us to deeper realities, so that we become more full and open and aware human beings. So that's really what the package is about, you know, the book with the music and then the films, and the whole thing. Yeah.
So that's okay, a piece great. Of it. So people bring you out to do this whole process with a group?
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I've given quite a few seminars, some of them, a few hours, some of them a few days, in which people get, you know, a chance to experience this fully. And it's very, very exciting and very, you know, it's really been life-changing for many people who've been exposed to this. I did it a few times in in South Africa and in Israel, and I have groups that follow a path like this that do this kind of work. Even now, I just got a call from Panama, where I've been sending films to their teaching staff of a school system there that just fell in love with the idea of being able to both be impacted this way and give it over to their students. So, there's different ways of doing it. So what I just described now is very, kind of ethereal and for adults to listen to, but to give it over to kids is a whole different thing. It's a lot more music and movement and different ways to give it over. Yeah, and I do seminars and tours about it. But what's most important to me is that the multifaceted aspect of the experience. I mean, one of the things that's very important to me in my life, and I'm doing a lot more now, is playing music. I play the clarinet and I sing and I have performances. We're going to be having one this Motzei Shabbat here in Bat Ayin. We have an audience of about 100 people that comes every month for an experience of really great music. There's a lot of stuff up on the YouTube, from those events. And get to touch the experience, as a live musical performance. That's something which I think is just so dear, because music just steps so much more beyond what we can talk about now. I don't know if on your program you have the ability to play some stuff, but I could give you something to play if you'd like to.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. That. We could do that in the next segment. That would be excellent.
Amazing.
You give the workshops and seminars in English and in Hebrew. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
in Israel, it's almost always in Hebrew. I mean, I have groups that are year-long groups and groups that meet weekly. And then I have, and as a matter of fact, I'm going to be doing a meditation seminar that will involve a lot of this work towards Pesach. Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyone who's interested in such a thing can just get onto landing page, ravdaniel.net.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you can also offer, you said most of the seminars that you give in Israel are in Hebrew, but you can do them in English.
Sure, I'd love to. If there's a group that gets together and that would be fantastic. Sure. Yeah.
Okay. All right. It sounds really good. I'm very excited to see what you can share with us. We are actually coming to the end of our second segment here, so it's a great place to stop. I would like to thank my listeners for being with us, and of course, Rav Daniel, and we will be back in just a few minutes, and when we do, we'll hear more from Rav Daniel and maybe have an experience of our own with him. You're listening to Leap of Faith. I'm Penina Taylor, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Bentico, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Leap of Faith with Penina Taylor.
Hi, and welcome back to the last segment of today's Leap of Faith. I'm your host, Penina Taylor, and today I am having an incredibly inspiring conversation with Rav Daniel Cohen, rabbi of the Bat Ayin community, former Rosh Yeshiva of the Banayan Yeshiva, and author of two books, one of which is basically The Siddur as a Spiritual Journey. Welcome back. Rav Daniel, what you shared with us in the last segment, you were describing the Siddur very much in terms of something that's very experiential. I think that most of us who either were born into religious Jewish families or who have been observant for a very long time, we tend to think of personal prayer or experiential prayer as something very separate from the Siddur itself. We tend to think of it as very dry, very formal, what I call a conceptual, that it's, you know, you have the offerings and it's about the offerings that they offered in the temple and now you have the thing. Right?
Yep.
But you described it as something very experiential. So would you care to elaborate on that?
For sure. You know, Penina, like one of the ways the rabbis describe prayer is by saying it's the work of the heart. Based on a verse that says, "Va'avadatem et Hashem Elokechem b'chol levavchem," that you're to do the work of God with all of your heart. And the rabbis say, "Gee, what is the worship or the work of the heart?" And the answer is, it's tefillah, it's prayer.
Right.
So that immediately defines for us that the actual practice of prayer is not a matter of what you're saying, although that's clearly the end point of it, but the main focus of prayer is what's happening in your heart.
Right.
And that means that you're, you know, the heart is really both an image of emotion and of care and of passion, but also the heart is what's pumping life into our entire physical reality. And therefore it's a way of saying that your entire being is to be involved in this. So right away, we're getting a clear directive from the rabbis that prayer is really not about the ritual. It's about what underlies that ritual. And I think we can say that about religion in general, that it has a problem that it tends towards the ritual and therefore often will leave a person with a mistaken thought that it's the action which is what's really being called for, when actually the action disconnected from the heart and from the entire being of the person is not what's being called for. What's being called for is our involvement as full human beings in what we're doing in the service of God. And so prayer is actually the most intense version of that. And therefore, there's much in the Talmud and in the early authorities, in the Rambam, etc., that talk a great deal about how it's really about the overarching intentionality that one brings to one's prayer. Now, intentionality has many meanings to it. Kavana is the word in Hebrew. It's really better translated as an attunement, you know, like kind of like getting yourself aligned with something.
Mm.
And so what I was describing before, the different alignments is really the best way to translate it into English. And that involves, like you're saying, like a full experience. And so a lot of people, you know, when they face the Siddur, they think it's like it's a liturgy that commanded to go through every day, or, you know, that I have to finish, you know, in order to move on, or and lose the recognition that actually the Siddur is something of a manual. It's a guidebook for experiencing different levels of life and experience, and the words are actually the guidepost for taking us in there. Now, one of the, you know, sometimes confusing things about Jewish practice is that, yes, you do also have to say the words, and yet you are not to just make that the sum of the game of, you know, just saying the words. But oftentimes, you know, we're just trying to get through the words, and so forget about what's supposed to be happening to us. But actually the opposite direction. The words are really about changing your heart and changing your being and opening your consciousness and awareness to the higher levels of what it means to be a creation of God and to be involved in this creation. So yeah, I know people miss it. I dream already of the time when people are already, you know, instead of using a book Siddur, a lot of people use actually their iPhones, you know, I see a lot of people praying out of their iPhones. So I'm looking forward
really
to the
weird
day when they'll also have earphones, and then they'll be listening to music as they're praying it.
Mm.
And being moved, because that's really the way it was in the temple. There was music that accompanied the service. So there's a lot of room for that also. That's another discussion that could take us into whole other regions. But definitely what you're saying is true, that I'm talking about something which the rabbis call the Avodah Shebalev. It's the work that happens in the heart.
It's so much easier, though, to wrap our minds around that in connection with what we call Hitbodedut, the informal, unstructured prayer that we offer up. I think we get so caught up in the details of the Siddur that it holds us back sometimes.
Yeah, a number of people have told me, people in education, you know, that like the big thing that's new about what I'm doing and this offering is that a lot of people talk now about, you know, like you're saying, meditation or freestyle prayer, or just opening up your heart and praying to God, which are all really wonderful things. But there's this practice that we have. And yeah, the claim here is that actually can be a really, really meaningful spiritual experience to be going through that. And I want to say it's a challenge. You know, it's not like I'm there all the time, or anyone that I know is like there all the time. There are great people who I'm sure are, but it's part of, like we talked about at the beginning of the program, it's part of a journey. The spiritual journey of the Siddur is actually part of a larger journey in which we're, as I said before, there's those swords of the cherubim, of the keruvim, you know, that are flipping back and forth, and our lives are flipping back and forth. And it's very, very important to know the secrets of patience and of process and of being on a path. And like you put it so beautifully at the beginning of, you know, a spiritual journey that we're all on. And that means that we're moving towards, and there's things that happen on the way. And sometimes there's doldrums and, you know, boring scenery. And, you know, things that aren't as exciting and enlightening and inspiring, but just the very act of commitment and of staying in this covenant and being in a relationship of faith becomes a very deep other level, that even when, it's not what I'm dreaming of right now, but I know that this is part of an unfolding process. And so, you know, on the days when it doesn't go, to know that's part of an overall work and process that I'm in. And keeping that awake. Well, you know, it's hard to just talk about this on the radio and on the phone. It really very much is an experiential thing where people, I get it. That's what you're talking about. You know, and then I know people have really understood it, and that it does require, like in the book with the music, or like an actual seminar where people are coming together and experiencing it and really knowing what we're talking about. But yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Rabbi. We have about 2 minutes left of this segment. And
okay, so then let me play something for your audience and let them get a taste of what this music is.
Okay, awesome. So just tell us a little bit about what we're about to hear, and then I'm going to play that segment, and then we'll finish up.
Okay, great. So I'll just play a selection from one of the two albums that I've put out. One album is called the Songs of Divine Contemplation, and the other album is called The Pulse of the Soul. These are two albums which actually also are intended to enhance a kind of a spiritual experience. And I'm going to play one which is called Pause.
The Pause.
And you'll hear it and you'll know what I mean.
Okay, awesome. All right, let's listen to a little bit of The Pause. Okay. Wow. cannot do justice in just a short amount of time on the radio, but that just gives us a little taste of what we can experience. Rav Daniel, we are basically out of time for today. Thank you so much for inspiring us. If our listeners would like to be in touch with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
The best way would be to simply write to Rav Daniel K, RavDanielK, at gmail.com.
Okay, RavDanielK at gmail.com. Fantastic. All right. Thank you so, so much for joining us. And I'd also like to thank our listeners for being with us today. You've been listening to Leap of Faith. I'm Penina Taylor, and I'd also love to hear from you. If you'd like to be in touch, or if you know of someone who has a special journey that they should share with us, you can email me at Penina@Israel News Talk Radio. That's PENINA@IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Thanks for being with me today, and I'll see you next time when we take a leap of faith together here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com homepage, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.